Hi, good to see you, ladies. Once again, here we are for a conversation plus compassion equals community. Yay, with Raw Garden. Mariam Issa is the founder of Raw Garden, and Robin Yamaguchi is a very good friend of mine. We've known each other for decades through volunteer work. These two lovely ladies have not met each other yet. And I wanted to get them together today because they have an incredible story and background that really does intersect. And I think today is just going to show us very organically how connected we are and how we can make differences wherever we are. But before we start, I'm going to share some beautiful photos without any explanation that Robin kindly gave us, and we'll come back to them later. I'm sure, Robin, as you're looking at these, so many stories and so much is coming to mind. So beautiful. Wow.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Incredible.
So these pictures were taken in Uganda.
They all were except the first one. That's my family who
Okay.
migrated to Aussie about almost 4 years ago. And my son-in-law
Mm.
is Kenyan, and my daughter married him in Uganda many years ago. My grandkids were born and grew up in Uganda. So they moved to Aussie about 4 years ago.
Amazing. And you yourself, you're Australian born, but you're also Ugandan. Is that correct?
Correct. I
Yes.
lived overseas for many years, 46. Actually, I was overseas a long time. But when I was in Uganda, a number of people approached me and said that it might be a good idea. So I went ahead and I was accepted. It's rather rare to have a white Ugandan, but here we are.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Proudly
And
Ugandan.
proudly Ugandan, it's beautiful.
Proudly
And
Ugandan,
so, Mariam, you lived in Uganda, right? Is that correct?
yeah. Yeah,
Oh,
and I just, yeah, just as I was watching the photos, I had chills in my body because I did go to school in Uganda. I lived in
oh,
Tororo.
hey.
Yes, yes.
Oh,
I don't speak the language anymore,
okay.
but I do
Yes.
speak Swahili. And
Okay.
yeah, so it's just incredible. I have changed places with you, so don't worry. You've been in my place in Africa, and I'm in your place in Australia.
Yeah, that's amazing. But
Yeah.
you're from Somalia?
I am originally from Somalia, but I grew up in Kenya and I grew
All
up in
right.
Uganda as well. So
Oh,
my family actually went through the Idi Amin civil war.
wow. Oh, right.
Yes, yes,
Yes.
yes. I
Well,
was
my
seven
son-in-law's
then.
family certainly did. Yeah.
Yes, so I was seven then. We lived in Tororo. We were going to school there. And then, yeah, the civil war happened.
Oh,
And we
wow.
had
So,
to
Robin,
leave. Yeah.
where are you based in Uganda when you're there?
I'm 7 hours drive north of the capital in a place called Gulu, which is just an hour short of the South Sudan border. So I'm far north.
Yeah, far north. Wow.
And my school is an hour north of Gulu.
Of
So we're
Gulu.
quite far.
You're out bush. So now, can you see why I didn't tell you about each other's backgrounds? Because I
Because
knew
we
the
won't
moment.
stop
Yes,
right
because my
now.
family still lives in Kampala. My sisters and my brother and
Oh,
some of my
wow.
brothers. Yes.
Hey,
And
I'll
yeah,
have to look
so.
them up when I go
Oh,
home.
absolutely. I will give you their number because they one of my cousins really
Yeah.
owns restaurants there. He's well known. The
Oh,
Mandela, I
wow.
don't know if you've heard of Mandela Incorporation.
I've heard the name,
Yes.
yeah.
So they own, yeah,
Oh.
a lot of, and he would be able to support with the schools and because he does a lot of philanthropy work.
Amazing.
And
Oh,
here
well
we
done.
go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just never know.
You never, never know. Yeah,
this so is true. The beauty. So tell us about your school, Robin, and how you started it and what you do and why you do it.
Okay, in a nutshell, I went to Uganda in 2001 and I was helping existing schools and institutes for the disabled or different units, but we found there was a huge amount of corruption. And when I would bring donated goods to the place, the staff, because I speak the language, you know, somewhat, so the staff would tell me, oh, mommy, sorry, but all the rice you gave last week went off with the director. And this happened so many times, I just felt I had to get one to the place I felt was most needy, and two, where we could start from the grassroots and know it was clean from the start. Mm. And then at that time, for 20 years, I'm sure, Miriam, you know, there was the Kony War up in Gouda, and the UN says there were 30,000 child soldiers taken from schools at that time. So I'd worked in different parts of Uganda. I was in Tororo during flooded areas and taking aid during then.
Yeah.
Different places. But it just felt that that was, for me, that was where I felt was the most needy. So I went up and started bringing donations, but that was very inadequate. You know, people were very damaged. They needed a lot more than that.
Yeah.
But then step by step, it ended up that I met a fellow who was a Chori. He'd studied in Makerere University.
Yeah.
And he felt called to come back. He'd gotten a degree and was well employed, but he felt he had to come back and give back to his people. So his name was Opira Michael, and I met him. And he just started a school. His dad was a very famous head teacher from around the area. He'd been tortured and all by the LRA and the government. So step by step, it seemed like if we could get to the grassroots and help the children, that would in turn help the community in the most long-lasting way.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And don't you pay some of your older boys to help build the school, make the bricks and actually hands-on training. You're right, and you give them a wage to help you.
We started with a primary school with just like 280 usually. Now, I don't believe in boarding schools. You know, they just have a horrible reputation. And of course, a child is best to be with a family unit. But in our case, where the family units are so damaged and where the young girls are so at risk in the village, we started to soon realize that to enable the girls to be protected long enough to be able to continue schooling, we had to provide the full housing. So I started with first a Choli, the children who are child soldiers, and then I worked with the Ik, you know, Karamoja, Miriam?
No.
Karamoja is further than where Tororo is, up on the Kenya escarpment.
Okay.
Way up on the mountains.
Okay.
And I worked with the Ik tribe, who are like National Geographic level people. They're very simple hunters and gatherers. I'd worked with them back in 2005, 2006. So when I started the school, the elders begged me to take some of their kids. So that was years ago when we started. So now, after they graduate from our school, we then sponsor all the ones who don't have uncles or someone who can help them continue. We sponsor through high school. So now of that tribe, Ik tribe, we have some in nursing, agriculture, and learning those extended professions.
Professions, yeah.
And then the last group, we've got three groups, the children of child soldiers, the Ik tribe from way on the border up the mountains, and I have South Sudanese kids from one of the camps.
The camps as well. Wow.
Yes.
That's incredible.
Incredible. So COVID's driven you back to Australia.
It did.
Yes, it did me too. We had a very similar experience. We got in under the wire just in time. And it's been an incredible blessing, actually, in light of what's happening. But right now, it's very challenging for you and your school, right? So what's happening?
Well, you know, in deep, deep third world, and Miriam, you would understand this.
Absolutely.
Our government tends to be people who've come from the rich and they prefer to take care of the wealthy. So the people who live in Kampala or out in the West, where the president comes from, have plenty of money, they have internet, they have electricity. 75% of the children in our country and teenagers live in rural areas. And in our areas, there are no internet, no electricity. So they say there's online schooling available, but that's only to just a select few who can afford the data for the phone, who even have a phone, and you know, all the rest. So we've had to print thousands of work study sheets for each of our kids. Mm-hmm. We take them to the villages. Our teachers are going to the villages and up the mountains. And then we follow up by phone.
Wow. Old school, really old school.
Old school. It's basic. But the thing that is just kind of exciting is that at the end of what we call primary seven, at the top of primary school, mm-hmm. our kids every year from the beginning, even though they didn't speak English, were just extremely disadvantaged, always get grades A or B only. Mm. We've never had an average grade. So it just proves how sharp the kids are,
given an opportunity. It is one, it is the opportunity, but two, what I realize is there's very little distractions.
Yeah.
And children are growing in a very organic,
very pure.
Very pure. The air, the food, everything is just natural.
Yes.
And that's why. So you're really, Robin, reminding me of my childhood, because that's exactly how I started off. I went to school under a mango tree.
We built
our schools ourselves.
Yes.
Just like, brick and mortar, and did it ourselves. Our teachers would take us to the forest, and then we would cut trees. We would, make our own bricks. He made us even bring a stone every day to school. And then after the assembly, we had to throw this the stone. There was a pyramid of stones. And that was for the building material.
Your foundation.
Our foundation. So that's how we started. And I do remember, back when we moved to come to Tororo, the same thing. We live, the schools weren't even that highly functional as well. But I think there is there's that hunger for education.
Absolutely.
I learned to read when I was five and no teacher. Incredible. There's this hunger of just wanting something, and
incredible. That's beautiful. So Mariam, how long have you been in Australia now?
22 years.
Yes.
My 23rd year.
How long have you been in Africa, Robin?
18 years. But I went there 2001, so now it's 20 years ago.
I've known Robin since I was 16 years of age, a very long time ago.
Wonderful.
Robin lived in Japan for ages. How long were you in Japan?
18 years also.
Also.
Oh,
and
18 years.
Fluent
you
in
speak
Japanese? Yes.
Fluent. My daughter speaks Japanese. Sumaya speaks Japanese.
We've got to meet up. Absolutely. Yep.
Because that's they are amazing. Also thinking of going to Japan. She wants to go there and do a bit of studying and things like that.
Amazing. And how many other languages do you speak, Robin?
Oh, I'm learning English.
I say that too.
I used to speak Bahasa Melayu, Indonesia, and a few others, but nothing very well. Japanese in Asia was the one I actually spoke. The others were just survival.
You speak African dialects, right? Quite a few
African
dialects.
Languages.
Languages, complete languages, not just dialects. What do you speak?
Swahili?
No. Swahili, pangeldo.
Mjaluo,
Jaluo.
Walimu wangu alikuwa ni Mjaluo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I speak basics of quite a few in Uganda, but I don't speak really well.
Yes.
But I can go all day without using English, you know. It's fun.
I have to connect you to my nieces, because one of my nieces is a teacher.
Zuri-san.
Yeah, and she would be of, you know, she would love to be of support. I think she can do a lot, yeah.
So fun. Yeah. I'd love you to also connect with my son-in-law and our family. That would be really fun.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yes. He's a Kisumu boy.
He's a Kisumu boy. Oh, my first teacher was a Luo, and they are really very passionate people.
Yes.
You know, Dusty, Luo are the tribe that Obama comes from.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
And who's the actress too?
Oh, there, yes.
She was in the Wakanda.
Yeah, who was in Wakanda? What was her name?
I forgot her name.
Is Lupita. She Lupita?
Lupita Nyong'o.
She's Luo. Okay, I always thought she was a Kikuyu. She's not.
Oh, unless I'm mistaken. But my people are claiming her.
Are claiming her, yeah. Yeah, we all... We all love to claim the fame. Anyway, I think, Lupita, she might be Luo. I don't know.
And she was born in Mexico.
Wow.
Okay.
She's an unusual girl. Her dad must have been, I think he was a diplomat or something.
And
so,
this
tell me a little bit about what you're doing here, because it sounds fabulous.
Yes, so I brought the African wisdom into the backyard of Brighton. So, you know, we always see whenever you go, nothing is ever random.
No.
All the seeds that have been seeded, the love that have been seeded in us, we bring it to wherever we go.
Absolutely.
So I remember coming to Australia and being completely out of place. The currency being, you know how I call culture a currency, and I felt that my currency was deflated in this space. So I had to give it a bit of, you know, I had to learn and to understand the community around me. And when I did, I realized that I wasn't here randomly. And so I asked a question that literally changed the trajectory of myself and my family. And I said, why am I here? And that was a calling for me. I'm here. Mm-hmm. I knew it wasn't random. I knew there was something that I needed to give to this community. So what came to the view was that I was here to remember myself, but to also remind others what they had forgotten. So my remembrance was to learn about individuality. I've always been in communal culture.
Yes.
And the giving to this community was to remind them of the community, communal culture. And in the process, I learned that none works on its own. Being a communal doesn't work on its own, and being an individual doesn't work, independent doesn't work on its own. So when we bring the two together, we become interconnected and interdependent.
Excellent.
So that's what I found out. And hence where the raw garden started. I opened my backyard as a community garden. Yes, and reached out to the women. And I said, you know, the name actually came to me in a dream. Raw, R-A-W, for the organization. Yeah. And it translates to resilient, aspiring women.
Fabulous.
Yeah. And if you read it backward, it's war. So I had to stop the war inside to tap into the resilience and aspirations. And so that's my message. That's the message that I am here, you know, giving to the community, but also doing it through my medium of Mariam Issa. I have a business, and it's about you connecting women to their potential. Young and having that intersection. So I work with my daughter. My middle child.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yes.
I've and got then a few other friends I could think they would be very interested in joining you.
Yeah.
Well, it's a space, Robin. Let me explain to you. There's a pavilion, an outside pavilion, and a gorgeous garden. So people can come in and volunteer within the community garden, but then also this space hosts events. So these are full circle, you know, full moon circles, holding space, circles of grace for women, families, intergenerational discussions, also interculture, so that we can learn and incorporate. We, Mariam and I have done a project with welcoming asylum seekers, new Australians, or people bringing newness to Australia, and just welcoming, valuing each other in our diversity. And so also it's a space, it's beautiful, it's a very serene, beautiful setting where people can also rent it so that it is sustainable and they can have their own events like birthday parties or corporate events, things like that.
Generation.
Yes, sustainability. We are very big on sustainability.
Yeah.
And I think one of the very interesting things is that we not we don't have a fence. Our fence is 6 olive trees. Yes, and the beauty of that, it was very intentional. Every tree that we have in the garden, because we it's almost like a mini food forest, because we have 40 fruit trees. So it's the 6 olive trees. In the Quran, the olive tree is said to be a tree of neither the east nor the west. So it's a bridging tree. And that's that's how we link the community. And
that's
now
fabulous.
This project of conversation plus compassion equals community.
So cool. So, well done.
And hence what we are doing. I think it's, you know, bringing our community into this circle of grace and dealing with our grievances within the circle.
So good.
And so it's so important that people realize that, because we do not learn through words.
No.
Yeah. What we're doing here is today, and we're very excited, is bringing our life experiences.
Yes.
And through that conversation is what reminds us of who we can be. I think the creativity in humanity is just incredible.
That's fabulous.
And I think it's time to let go of the past and create a new future for ourselves and for the future, for the generations to come. And they're here to do it with us. It's just so incredible. Yeah.
That's really good. I've found a few people I've known who've grown up in the country. These are Anglo-Saxon Australians that I knew from many years back. Sometimes they lack the opportunity to connect and understand other cultures. But once they get an opportunity to know one or two and make friends, then the walls are gone. I think what you're doing is absolutely essential to create that opportunity for people to have that one-on-one interaction.
Yeah, and I did, you know, I don't know, there was a force driving me. So when I came, I just, in the beginning, you know, the first 10 years was the absorption, was the connection, was the learning. And
so
that
good.
Time is tumultuous, of course. But when I let go, and I think there's also resistance, you know, you're resisting the culture as well. You want to keep what is yours. So I think my ability of storytelling and just really connecting with storytelling and learning that stories are just, you know, these are relays that have been passed on to us by our ancestry. And we had to really look at it and say, well, if I'm going to climb my summit, what's mine and what's not mine, you know?
Very good.
Yeah. And letting go of the, you know, the heaviness.
Yes.
Some of the things that we carry through life that we don't even need to. So that, you know, that is the power of story, you know, just being able to, you know, sitting in, I see the, you know, most often I say that I see the world as, you know, a plateau that allows us to shape, mold and design our stories.
So good.
And it's also a platform that compels us to ask brave and courageous questions.
Yes.
And when we do that, depending on the depth, I feel, and the potency of our asking, our experiences can transform. Not just change, but transform. And this is the time, you know, this is the time to transform our experiences and to transform our conditioning. into the conditions that we want in this new world. I feel like, you know, and women, I feel like women are the way showers. We're the womb of creation. We're the ones who have let go of the rain, and hence why the world became lopsided. So it's our time to bring
that's back an balance. Interesting perspective.
Yeah, yeah, to bring back balance. That's why we're here in these times.
Very good.
Yes.
So Robin, I also hear you a lot. Your concern is the young women, the young girls that you work with, because high teen pregnancy, and then once that happens, education, everything's done. And so this is what you're working towards. Do you have a story that you'd like to share with us?
I do. In those original photos, there was one girl who had something green on. She had a nurse uniform.
Okay, I know that. I'll get it up for you if you like. We can actually get it up while you share it.
A lot of people, when they think of Uganda, they think of Idi Amin because of the few movies that came out. He's very well known to everyone.
Yeah.
In fact, the Kony War from Joseph Kony was absolutely disastrous. Mm. And there were 30,000 children ripped from their schools, dragged up to, roped together, taken to South Sudan, trained, and then back into Uganda. And it was just horrible. They slaughtered and burned their relatives, villages. There was shooting everywhere. And that went on for 20 years. Rwanda, everyone remembers Rwanda because it was so dramatic, but it was only for 4 days, maybe a week. But 20 years has contributed to the most extreme PTSD. So where we chose to buy the land and establish our school was one of the most damaged areas. And Kony, the leader of the Lord's Resistance Army, the leader of the rebels, was camped in that our exact area for a long time. Now, we were building our school, and the local neighbors always come around to see if they can make a little bit of money. And the young people really like to help with brick making because they do know the technique quite well with oversight. And Gladys was one girl who came to us, and she said, after she'd helped with us for quite a while, she said, "Mommy, I really want to go back to school. I really want to go back to school." And she kept coming a few times. She was at the time 13. And so we got talking with her. We have a primary school, but we have a number of kids who join us, even 16, 17 years old, when they've had absolutely no education, especially the refugee kids. And we start them at the very basics, but we don't put them with young children. We make sure their self-respect is maintained and they're able to really be challenged by it. We get relevant English lessons and all. Anyway, with Gladys, the catch with her, we found out, my colleague Michael and I found out that she had a child, and the child was already a toddler. So here she was at 13 wanting to regain school. Now the Ugandan education system at that time was saying, no, if you're pregnant or you have a child, you can't go back to school. Now already our children, our women and our girls are highly disadvantaged because of lack of sanitary pad availability, of the demand in school, early marriages, demand in the village, early marriages and stuff. So we considered, and we talked with her relatives, a grandma and a cousin, and they agreed to take her little daughter, Lagum. So we schooled Gladys. She was a very, very bright girl and very earnest about her studies. And she scored very well in her end of primary. So we sponsored her through high school. And now she's just finishing up soon her nursing training.
Nursing training.
Wow.
And now little Lagum, her daughter, is now grade 2 in our school.
Oh,
incredible.
Beautiful.
So that's one little story.
That is so beautiful.
That's wonderful. Amazing. And she'll be able to give back. And that's just beautiful. Well, on that point, why don't we take a little break and then we'll come back in a few minutes and start another discussion. How's that sound?
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. It's really nice.
It's a